last summer, he said, in his proper formal French. I'd never heard him use a contraction, no slang or police jargon. You were there. It is probably more of the same. I need someone to go out there to confirm that this is not a coroner case. When he glanced up from the paper, the change in angle caused the furrows and creases to deepen, sucking in the afternoon light as a black hole draws in matter. He made an attempt at a gaunt smile, and four crevices veered north. You think it's archaeological? I was stalling. A scene search had not been in my pre-weekend plans. To leave the next day, I still had to pick up the dry cleaning, do the laundry, stop at the pharmacy, pack, put oil in the car, and explain cat care to Winston, the caretaker at my building. He nodded. Okay. It was not okay. He handed me the slip. Do you want a squad car to take you there? I looked at him, trying hard for baleful. No, I drove in today. I read the address. It was close to home. I'll find it. He left as silently as he'd come. Pierre Lamanche favored crepe-soled shoes, kept his pockets empty so nothing jangled or swished. Like a croc in a river, he arrived and departed unannounced by auditory cues. Some of the staff found it unnerving. I packed a set of coveralls in a backpack with my rubber boots, hoping I wouldn't need either, and grabbed my laptop, briefcase, and the embroidered canteen cover that was serving as that season's purse. I was still promising myself that I wouldn't be back until Monday, but another voice in my head was intruding, insisting otherwise. When summer arrives in Montreal, it flounces in like a rumba dancer, all ruffles and bright cotton, with flashing thighs and sweat-slicked skin. It is a ribald celebration that begins in June and continues until September. The season is embraced and relished. Life moves into the open. After the long, bleak winter, outdoor cafes reappear. Cyclists and rollerbladers compete for the bike paths. Festivals follow quickly, one after another, on the streets, and crowds turn the sidewalks into swirling patterns. How different summer on the St. Lawrence is from summer in my home state of North Carolina, where languid lounging on beach chairs, mountain porches, or suburban decks marks the season, and the lines between spring, summer, and fall are difficult to determine without a calendar. This brash vernal rebirth, more than the bitterness of winter, had surprised me my first year in the North, banishing the homesickness I'd felt during the long, dark cold. These thoughts were drifting through my mind as I drove under the Jacques Cartier Bridge and turned west onto Vigée. I passed the Molson Brewery, which sprawled along the river to my left, then the round tower of the Radio Canada building, and thought of the people trapped inside, occupants of industrial apiaries who undoubtedly craved release as much as I did. I imagined them studying the sunshine from behind glass rectangles, longing for boats and bikes and sneakers, checking their watches, bitten by June. I rolled down the window and reached for the radio. Jerry Boulet sang Les Yeux du Cœur. I translated automatically in my mind. I could picture him. An intense man with dark eyes and a tangle of curls flying around his head, passionate about his music, dead at 44. Historic burials. Every forensic anthropologist handles these cases. Old bones unearthed by dogs, construction workers, spring floods, gravediggers. The coroner's office is the overseer of death in Quebec province. If you die inappropriately, not under the care of a physician, not in bed, the coroners want to know why. If your death threatens to take others along, the coroner wants to know that. The coroner demands an explanation of violent, unexpected, or untimely death, but persons long gone are of little interest. While their passings may once have cried out for justice or heralded warning of an impending epidemic, the voices have been still for too long. Their antiquity established, these finds are turned over to the archaeologists. This promised to be such a case. Please.